Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for, even imagine. Amen. This is quite a day in the life of Jesus. And Jesus was on his way to Simon's house, having just left the synagogue at Capernaum. And I imagine Simon, who later became Peter, was anxious because his mother-in-law had been in bed for quite a while. No one could help her. She couldn't get out of bed. Everybody was afraid to even move her. So Jesus arrives on the scene. And what does he do? He takes her by the hand and lifts her up. And she responds by serving. She needed to do something with what this new sense of healing was for her. So when Jesus left the synagogue, entered the house, and eventually leaves that area to go throughout Galilee, we're seeing and hearing three things. The synagogue, the church, which is us, the home, where we have family and friends, and then the outside community. In each of these situations, Jesus enters and in some new way proclaims the kingdom. And he's proclaiming the kingdom to people who want to hear a better way, who want help, who want some kind of healing. In the synagogue, you wouldn't think that Jesus needs to go into that place to proclaim good news. You wouldn't think Jesus would need to come into our church and teach with authority and everybody reacts with, wow, this is good news. This is new. But that's what happened in last week's gospel. So today he enters a home. And in this home, he transforms a woman. And then eventually others begin to come to that home. It says the entire city. Which reminds me, and it really struck me, that what happened in the Hollywood Riviera bus accident was a moment when somebody was not left alone in that bus accident. They went to her. Here this couple was hit by a bus in Hollywood Riviera a couple days ago, and the husband was killed, and the woman was trapped, and someone else went under the bus, so she was not alone. So a part of what's happening in this gospel is the new beginnings of community, how people come together and are strengthened. Do we notice those moments for ourselves? Do we notice people around us that might need our help? Now, one of the understandings of healing in the scripture, and it's actually an understanding of healing today, is that healing is about wholeness. Now, there is a game called Table Topics, and it comes in different versions. You can have a book club version, a family version, a history version, but there's a spirit version. And the tabletop game is a plastic cube with cards in it. And you take out a card, everyone takes out a card, and they answer it. Everyone takes a turn answering that question. Well, in the spirit version, there is a particular card that asks the following. Is there a difference between being cured and being healed? Can you be cured without being healed? Can you be healed without being cured? When we are physically ill, we want a cure to make us feel better. But if we are somehow released of the flu, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are healed. Our understanding of healing, especially in our gospel stories, means something more. It means a restoration of wholeness, particularly when it comes to our spiritual lives. When we are healed, even if we are not cured of a physical ailment, we have the ability to rejoin our community because we are in a new peace. There is a wholeness and a peace that's been established even though we are still suffering an ailment. The healing that we've been praying for takes us to a different place. And sometimes there is the cure of the ailment and it's gone. But often may you have hope, because this gives me hope, that healing and being cured are two different things. So when someone says, can you put my name on the prayer chain, or could you put my relative on the prayer list on Sundays? We are praying for their healing indeed. And we are praying that Jesus brings them to the wholeness that is meant to be the fullness of their life here on earth and into eternity. That is a magnificent grace, to be able to be in this peace in God, even in the midst of some kind of ailment that's not been cured. So an example, there was a woman in a hospital, and she was in stage 4 cancer. And she was near death and the hospital chaplain was called in. And she began telling the hospital chaplain that what she needed to talk about was all the years she and her sister had not talked, that they had been estranged for years. And so she asked if the chaplain would pray for her healing. And in talking and crying out the pain of remembering all these years that she didn't talk to her sister, all of a sudden she felt new life and peace and cried for all the years she had missed. Healing takes us to a very deep place. We, as we see in the Gospels, we need to go to Jesus or go to someone and ask, would you pray with me? Would you pray for my healing? Jesus, would you heal me? Jesus is quite capable of healing ailments and did it over and over and over again in the Scriptures. It literally gave him street creds. It did, because they saw this power. But the other part of the power, and we heard it demonstrated in the woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had used up all of her resources. She had no money left. She heard about Jesus. She goes to this village. He's surrounded by people. She finally makes her way in. She says to herself, if I just touch him. So she touches Jesus. And Jesus said, the power's gone out. I feel something different. And his apostle said, well, you're surrounded by a crowd. Of course you're being bumped and pushed. And he said, no, this was different. And he turns and the woman knows what he's talking about and says, I touched you. And Jesus' response was, your faith has made you whole. Now, That particular passage sometimes troubles me. Where was the power? The power, the healing was in the touch. And the verb in Greek was, your faith has made you whole again. You are at peace again. You're able to be in a peace that is your best self again. That's an incredible example of not a faith that is demanding, but a faith that simply reaches out for the grace. Whatever the grace is meant to be, she reached out for it. And we can do the same. So this touch is a grace that we share every single Sunday at the sign of peace. We say, the peace of the Lord be with you, and you turn around and you extend a hand to someone next to you, or you hug the loved one next to you. This goes back over 2,000 years. The gesture of peace in the Middle Eastern society was often to give a kiss on the cheek or on the mouth. And in Scripture, we have 5 times in the epistles the phrase, the passing of the peace, the gift of peace, the kiss of peace. So we put that into our liturgy 2,000 years ago. So after the gospel, after the creed where we say we believe, after the confession where we are in a moment to make right and to let go with what's on our hearts, then we are ready to give peace to another. It's a very powerful moment that we probably do on autopilot, and we absolutely take it for granted that we are extending the peace, this wholeness, this healing opportunity to the person next to us. When the service has ended and I'm standing at the back of the church and people are leaving, I either extend a hand or I give a hug, and I'm very conscious that this is another graced moment of being sent forth in the peace of Christ, even though the words haven't been said. So the gift of touch is a part of our liturgy. It's, to me, one of the focal points of today's gospel, that Jesus took her hand and raised her up. Sometimes you might feel vulnerable when you're here on a Sunday morning. Things have been difficult and you're on the edge. And maybe you don't want to be touched because you're afraid you'll lose it. Just being here in this environment with other believers is in the Jesus power, so to speak, because we're gathered in his name. So when we leave and we might feel a little more peaceful or a little more whole, that's not an accident. That is the healing that God offers. It's different than being cured. So in this community of faith, there is a very present, active spirit. And on this particular day of our annual meeting, this is what we're all about. We're saying, this is who we are. We're St. Francis Parish. We have another year ahead of us. We have another year to look at when we hear our reports. How did last year's events go? What do we need to think about? And so when we come together on an annual meeting day, we're in a very special moment of opportunity, because we're leading together, and we're doing this as a faith community in the power of God. And in the midst, and God knows what we need or what's on our hearts, in the midst of it, you might have a healing moment. where some spiritual burden gets lifted because of what someone else said or because someone else listened to you during the coffee hour. And all of that is the healing work, the hidden work of the Spirit. So I pray that we are very grateful for being here, for being who we are, and that we reach out to Jesus. We reach out to God, especially saying to God, I don't even know the areas, but you know, that can become more whole, that I may be healed, that I may be more alive in love. And that is what we're meant to be, alive in the love of God. That's the message, the good news of Jesus. And so he left Capernaum and went out because he said, that's why I came. I need to get going. So when we leave on any given Sunday, do we sense that Jesus wants to get going in us? Come on, let's get out there and make a difference. We're not alone in doing that. That's the presence of God. That's the grace that we've been given by being in this church together. So may you let go and let God be God and walk out this door in faith, hope, and love. Amen.